Good morning. It is 8:15, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gum, Nick Escher. Thanks for being with us here this morning. Well, it's been a while since we talked schools. They're back in session in one form or another, and it's we've determined it's loads and loads of fun for the administration and the boards and, well, everybody involved. And joining us to talk more about what's happening here in Galesburg District 205 is Superintendent Dr. John Asplin. Dr. Asplin, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. Good to hear it. It's been, obviously, none of us have ever seen a year like this, and it's not getting any better, that's for sure. Well, I mean, in some ways it is, but still crazy stuff happening. So let's start off. The decision was to start the school year on the e-learning side of it, which we had talked about beforehand. Talk about where you're at and how that's been so far for the district.
Well, where we are right now is, as we decided in July, the board would consider how to move forward at the October board meeting, and so that's next Monday. And so we've been putting together some information for the board that they'll then consider a lot of different factors come next Monday to figure out how we're going to move forward. But in terms of how we've been doing so far, I've been very, very impressed with everybody involved in terms of parents, staff, administration, obviously the board's done a great job. I mean, everybody's just really pulled together and really made this, a lot better product than we had last spring. And you know, we did it as well as we could last spring in terms of trying to make sure that we, could get, things done. But we had like a week to get things planned. So, you know, this time around, we had a lot more time to plan. So it's really gone very well.
Well, I know you, that was one of the things, I know you made a conscious effort. Like you said, you really had no time to plan first time around, so you just wanted to make sure it was better. And I guess that you actually had a plan, because there was no way to have a plan the first time around back in the spring.
Yeah, no, I can vividly remember sitting here at very early March at my conference table in my office, and we'd heard whispers that the state was going to shut us down, and we all kind of looked at each other like, what's that mean? Like, what now? And so we all really pulled together and very quickly put together a very workable plan for the spring. And, what was really impressed then with how much we got done in about a week. But we learned a lot, obviously, from that experience and spent a lot of time considering how we could do better and really spent all of the spring and summer trying to put together a plan for this year. And the plan that we put together so far, I think, has gone very well. I mean, you know, if you think of it in terms of trying to educate 4,000 students amidst the pandemic and everything else that's going on. I mean, I really think we've done fantastically well.
Dr. John Asplin, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. I know you you did a parent survey regarding the e-learning, and I guess it's just like whether under a pandemic or not, not everybody's going to be satisfied with the way things are going for their children. But what kind of were the results of the survey? There are, you know, obviously I know some parents feel, well, my child learns better or it needs to be in class, and there are some parents say, hey, my child's doing great, maybe better than they had done before. What was kind of the feedback you got? I'm guessing a little bit mixed.
Yeah, absolutely. So the raw numbers of the almost 1,100 people that took the survey, 62% of the parents said they'd prefer to go back to school, and 38% said they'd prefer to stay in remote. And we also called for comments on there, and it was I can't really show people the comments, but the comments that were on there, if you looked at them, the one comment would say, you know, how dare you even consider going back to school? And the next comment below it is, how dare you not have the kids in school? So, we knew kind of going in that we really weren't going to make a lot of fans with whichever direction we went.
So just how dare you, right?
Yeah.
that's the bottom line.
I understand to a certain extent that this is frustrating for a lot of people. But, you know, I hope people listening and it really stop to think that, you know, everybody's just trying to do the best they can. And it's obviously not what we would prefer to do, but none of this is what anybody would prefer to do. So, you know, everybody's just trying to do the best they can and keep everybody safe.
So what, as far as the board and looking at what's coming up that you're going to announce at the meeting on Monday, obviously you guys have had to take a lot of information into consideration. What are some of the things that you've had to look at coming into this point to make your decision for the next chapter anyway?
Well, so the board asked us for very specific information, and so what we're going to be providing them are things like what insurance protection do we have if we bring the students back in terms of just our insurance policy, and then something called tort liability, which is a legal application we have to look at. And then other feedback from LUTA districts or larger districts. So really what we're looking at is the Western Big Six schools that aren't or that are unit districts. So we didn't look at UT, we didn't look at Alleman, but we're asking all the other Western Big Six schools, you know, how are they doing? What is it they're doing, and how is it working for them? We also wanted to see what other neighboring states were doing and looking at their infection rates when considering how they're operating. The dollar cost of full implementation of bringing everybody back, the human cost, how many people are we going to have to add, what will they be doing all day. I told about the parent and staff survey, and then how long will our cleaning and personal protection supplies last if we come back. So that's the data we'll be presenting on Monday.
Well, I guess maybe one of the things that the general public isn't taking into consideration, what you just mentioned, is the budget for it, because there is going to be extra costs involved in it. In an already tough budget situation.
Yeah, I mean, we're well over $1 million in excess costs in terms of bringing everybody back, if that's what we plan to do. So it's a very expensive proposition if we try to do it.
Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. And yeah, there's costs involved because you want to be able to keep students, teachers, whoever's in the building as safe as possible if that is the case.
Yeah, one of the biggest costs would be like transportation, because we'd have to double up a lot of, you know, we'd have to make our routes with fewer students on them, and we'd have to make them actually longer. And so, you know, that creates an extra huge cost to us, and adding some extra staff to do contact tracing and to do, you know, a lot of the supervision to make sure that we have, if we have an infected student, we'd have to put them in an isolated area. We have to have somebody dedicated for that. You know, there's just other layers that we wouldn't have to add in a typical year.
Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning on Galesburg's Morning News. I know you've had a lot of different models to look at, because a lot of districts are doing it in different ways. Some have gone all in, some have gone hybrid. I just saw, I think this morning, that I think it's Peoria Public Schools, they're going to go with just young kids in class first, and many people think, well, those are the ones who need it more, that socialization, that, but there's also the ones that are less likely to keep their masks on and those things like that. So I guess there's a lot of different models that you guys have had to study, as you said.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right, Tom. Basically, for every district, there's a different plan, and that's not really surprising, because it's depending on the district and what their needs and abilities are. And the funny thing is, what we found out is, and I would have thought the exact same thing, that the little kids would have had the hardest time keeping their masks on. In speaking to other schools, and really I'm up in the 30s and 40s in terms of other school districts I've talked to, the students that they've had the most difficulty keeping their masks on are middle school students.
Really?
Yeah, they said the little kids do exactly what you ask, but the middle school kids, and if you've ever been around middle school kids, God love them, but, you know, that's kind of the stage everybody's in when they don't want to do what anybody asks them to do.
Yeah, that's why I guess that does make sense.
So that has been, at least from other districts, that's been the feedback we've gotten, that's been the most difficult population to keep their masks on.
Talking with Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent. Well, let's change gears here. One of the things, one of many things going on, especially there's been a lot of construction work. And I guess in some ways, maybe being out has helped a little bit with the construction or not. I mean, and the timeline and everything, but the guys have been able to keep working. And I know you got to be getting closer to some goals at the different buildings where the construction is going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one tiny silver lining in the fact that we could have more work crews in there during the day. I've received many emails, phone calls, board members have too, and I guess I want to make sure I tell everybody out there once again very strongly, the construction had zero to do with our decision to go remote. I mean, we had the buildings ready enough to put students in them at the beginning of the year, but that legend seems to persist out there that that's the reason we're not in school, but that's absolutely not the case. But, I mean, our buildings are, for all intents and purposes, pretty much done. If you go to King, you can still see some trim work outside that's not done, so it doesn't look done. But, every building is ready for students, and, in fact, teachers are teaching in all of the buildings. So, you know, they're all ready to go and really look great. So we're very pleased with how those projects have gone, and they've all finished up under budget, so that's always gratifying as well.
Yeah, I guess the thing is that people have to realize that why would you need to shut them down just for that? Because the existing buildings were still there. You're doing additions, so why you would have had to shut down?
Yeah, no. I mean, the classrooms were good enough to get started. King would have been a little bit of a challenge. We could have made it work, but it was, you know, that was the only one that was still, you know, a little bit left undone, but it was done enough that we could have made it work to start the year. But, you know, I guess that's one fortunate side of this, if there is a fortunate side of this, that, you know, we've been able to have more dedicated crews in there during the day.
Talking with Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent. John, anything else going on? There got to be something good to talk about, isn't there, other than the construction, how it's moving?
Well, you know, one of the interesting side effects of this whole thing is something that I guess I never really considered deeply when we started is, on average, on any given day here at the school district, there's about 18 teachers that are absent due to sicknesses or whatever. And because of how we've started the year with remote learning, e-learning, we're on almost 0 days of teachers not being with their students, teaching their students, because they've been able to do it even when they didn't necessarily feel that great from the safety of their home or their classroom. And so that's been a good side impact, in that our students have actually had more direct instruction from their teachers than would be in a typical year, just because of how it's set up.
Yeah, and I guess if you were actually in class, it would have been a struggle, because there's probably a lot of them, especially if they're older subs that have retired, that probably harder to get them back in a building at this point.
Right, and our last numbers that we had counted, and we're trying to finalize another count for the board for next week, is the last count we had was we had 8 subs that were willing to sub this year, and I don't blame people for not wanting to do it this year. And so on a given day, as I said, we have 18 subs that are in the building on an average day. When you only have 8, that's going to obviously impact our ability to bring everybody back in full. And we've had some teachers that have had to be quarantined at home, not because they necessarily had it. We did had the coronavirus, but, you know, they were in close proximity to somebody, or a family member had it. And those staff members would have had to have been excluded for a number of days, whereas they've been able to work continuously because they were able to do it remotely.
Well, the good news is you can make that 9, because Tyler said he's willing to sub in any engineering or physics or hospitality classes.
Well,
you're welcome, and I'm sorry.
If I started calling you doctor, apparently, I could put you in healthcare.
Well, there you go.
Tyler, MD, whatever you want to do. Well,
either way. Or Lord.
Yeah,
either
Lord, sir.
Any of those. Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. John, one of the other things, obviously, was sports. I found it almost humorous that some parents suing the IHSA at this point over football, because you're at a point now where it's like, well, what's the point? It would be too late to play anyway. So that's passed. Are you hearing anything more athletically as far as the winter sports? Has there been any changes? I know they did expand the number of games that they were going to be able to play as far as basketball, but anything else that you know at this point as far as upcoming winter sports?
Nothing I know, but I did read something from the IHSA where they still were hoping to have a basketball season, and you know, we're cautiously optimistic, although, you know, I'm still a little concerned with it being indoors and really hitting the peak of cold and flu season, that's going to be workable the whole time. But, you know, it's at least encouraging that they feel like maybe there's a possibility. But I like you, if I find it curious that there's groups trying to push for football now. It's like we'd have like 4 games. Like,
yeah.
Why don't we just wait for spring now, and then you can actually have a season? So I'm not really understanding that one. That seems like a publicity stunt more than anything to me. But, you know, I guess people are free to do what they want. But that one just does seem a little short-sighted, considering we're in, you know, the first week of October.
Yeah, and I don't know if they, you know, like I said, either a publicity stunt, or did you really think that, you know, okay, well, all the other states around us are playing, so maybe they're going to change it. But even by that point, when they made the announcement, it's like, okay, it's still too late, so if you're going to do it, you should have done it early. So, yeah, I'm kind of
right
with you. Maybe more of a publicity stunt at this point.
Yeah, I mean, what are you winning? I mean,
right.
It seems like you're cutting the sport in half at that point. So I just that one seems odd to me.
Yeah, and then even if you do win, well, how many schools are actually going to participate at that point, too? So you might not have any games.
Right, and that's always been, you know, a conversation around here, too, is just because they say, okay, go ahead. Like, is everybody really going to be ready to do
right.
that? And I think that's a hardship on some coaches, too, because, you know, they're already putting plans together for the spring, and all of a sudden to gear up right now, I find that to be curious. And I'm guessing it's going to go nowhere just because of the fact of weather in Illinois, and no one will want to play in December.
Yeah. Well, and I want people to know that you understand the importance of whether it's football or basketball or marching band or whatever extracurriculars, that those are really, really important things in a student's well-being and in their education, that you understand that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was in band. I was in football. I was a coach. Those are very cherished times in my life, and absolutely know that those are important for the students, but I think we also have to look at this in terms of everybody's health and well-being first and foremost, and when we feel that we can do things safely, such as cross-country and golf. Things have been done this fall that seem to make sense, that kids have been able to take advantage of some opportunities because those are more suitable to the environment that we're in. And so, we're trying to give everybody those extracurricular opportunities when it's safe to do so. And, obviously, we never want to go to the worst case scenario, but the worst case scenario and going too soon would be catastrophic. So, we all know that these things are very important and crucial to the well-being of our students. But, I think some folks are discounting the severity of what could happen if we did things without thinking about the health and safety.
You know, great things. I had opened up windows yesterday afternoon just to let some fresh air in, and hearing the marching band practicing last night. That was great to hear.
Yeah, and we have a phenomenal band, and not to have them have a season this year is really disappointing. Those are experiences that those students only get 4 years in high school to be able to do, and so these are tough times for our high school students especially, and in terms of extracurriculars, but I think our coaches, sponsors, and teachers are doing everything they can to maximize what opportunities they can for the kids.
Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. Well, Monday at the board meeting, we'll hear about the decision, how we're going to continue at least at this point of the school year. So, John, I say you're a very smart man for staying off social media, because it's going to be rather crazy Monday night and into Tuesday.
Well, yeah, we understand that. And I guess, what I would ask folks to understand is, our school board is a bunch of really fantastic people who have volunteered to help the community, and they get zero pay for this, and they're just trying to make sense of this like everybody else, and nobody's out there trying to hurt anybody, and I understand people having strong feelings, but I hope that they think twice before directing those at an individual, because nobody asked for this. This is everybody trying to make sense of the situation, and our school board is really just seven volunteers who want to help, and I just feel really bad for them, because they've been put in a horrible situation where they're having to, play scientists like the rest of us. And, that's not really what anybody signed on for. So, please, if you're out there and you want to, air your concerns, we invite you to come do that. But we would ask that you, remember that everybody's just trying to make the best of a situation that nobody asked to have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, John, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.